This morning, I'd like to ask you, if you would please, to take your Bible and turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, that you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people after that you might proclaim, I get it right here, his own chosen people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, and who had obtained mercy, but now have now obtained mercy. Darkness and light in the scriptures are often contrasted. Darkness is often used in the sense of sin or unrighteousness, and light is representative of truth and righteous. Notice in the last part of this reading, God calls to man, as pointed out in this reading, is designed to call him out of darkness and into light. In order to appreciate this, we need to understand the things that are found in darkness. What is it that we're to leave behind us in the darkness? Well, in the darkness, there is found blindness. Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 15 and verse 14, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Here, blindness, which is found in darkness, is used to describe willful ignorance. They are willfully ignorant of the truth and refuse to see it. But also in darkness, we find that there is hate. John says in John 1:29, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Hate or ill will causes one to be in darkness. No matter what you may think to the contrary, it causes you to be in darkness. Also in darkness, we find there are doctrines of men. John once again writes in 2 John verses 9 through 11, "Whoever transgresses and goes beyond or does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not abide or does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him or into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deed." Failing to abide in the doctrine of Christ is evil. Thus, it is darkness and belongs in that category. But closer related to this, we also find the opinions of men in the darkness. Paul formerly had an opinion which was wrong. You notice in Acts 26, verses 9 through 11, he said, "I thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. His opinion was that Christians need to be persecuted. But his opinions were wrong. For they were based on what he thought and not on the truth. So, in fact, he was then in darkness and called into the marvelous light. One other thing we find here is prejudice. Prejudice is in darkness. Jesus met this while he was in the flesh. Nicodemus pointed out to him that to the Pharisees in John 9:7-51, he said, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing?" What's the problem? They were prejudiced against him. We don't do this to other people. We don't do it to other people. Why should we do it to him? And Nicodemus pointed out the fact that he should be given a fair hearing in order to be rightfully judged by the law. Darkness also contains unfruitful works. Paul warns in Ephesians 5:11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." You know, unfruitful works of darkness are anything that is contrary to God's will. Contrary to God's will. Unfruitful works of darkness should not be coddled, should not be tolerated. They should be exposed. And how do you expose them? Well, you shine the light on. You shine the light on. And indeed, they are in the darkness. But darkness is also found in unbelief. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Satan blinds the mind of those who are in unbelief. You choose not to believe, and you'll be blinded to the truth. That's right. What is it that stands between you and the truth? Your eyesight is blind. You can't see it. You know people like this who will, you try to show them something, and you say, "Well, here it is, and it's written out in this, and it says this, it says this." They say, "Yeah. So what? I don't believe it." What are you going to do with a person like that? Well, you can't do anything. As long as Satan blinds them in unbelief, they will be allowed to stay in that condition. The ways of men are also found in darkness. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 10:23, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not man who walks to direct his own steps." Notice, you have man walking and directing his steps. What about whenever man follows his own way? Well, here's the answer to it right here. Isaiah 55:9, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours." Your thoughts and your ways are darkness compared to God. That's right. It's darkness compared to what God has to offer to you. But it naturally follows then that human wisdom is found in darkness. A wise man in Proverbs 14:12 wrote, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death." You know, you see a lot of people around you in the world today, and you say, "Do you think you're right?" "Well, of course I'm right." "How do you know?" "Well, I just know I'm right." "But what? Why do you know?" "Well, it's a way that seems right to me." It's a way that seems right. It's not because I can produce empirical evidence that will prove I'm right. It's because of the fact that I feel I'm right, and so I'm right. But what does the wise man say of this? Its end is the way of death. You know, Paul presents information here on the superiority of God's wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 18, chapter 1, verse 18. Get it right. Chapter 1, verse 18. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in it the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's right. Man's wisdom looks on what I'm doing right now as foolishness. That's right. But that's the way it is. And God chose that way to save man, not human wisdom to save him. Finally, we find the creeds of men in darkness. Jesus said, the people draw near to me. He's quoting from the Old Testament now. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What could that possibly be referring to? Well, it's talking about things that are written down by man that are accepted as the standard to follow. That's what it is. And a creed is just simply, I believe something. You have a creed, you believe something, but it's doctrines and commandments of men. And, of course, those kind of things will produce nothing but condemnation in the end. But I want to talk about why is evil equated with darkness. Why is evil equated with darkness? Well, in John 3, 19 and 20, Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. That's pretty simple to understand why darkness is equated with evil and light is equated with good or righteousness. Now, we turn our attention then to the light. And we find that God is light. Well, we would expect something like that. We would expect something like that. This is the message we've heard from him, 1 John 1 and verse 5, and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Did you get that? No darkness in God at all. What does that mean? No sin. No unrighteousness. There's no place. Because God is light. It isn't God has light. It isn't God stands over here in the light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. But Jesus is also called the light. Look at John 12 and verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now notice, God, Christ, both light. Now how can there be anything unrighteous in them? There can't be. David also said that in the Psalm 119 verse 105, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's talking about God's word being the light. And of course, we know that today we have the light. We have God's word. We don't have to depend on the works of men in order to have light. But I want you to notice in our reading, God called us into his marvelous light. I want you to go back to 1 Peter 2 and 9 with me, and I want to read that passage again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. What do we find there? Well, we find in the light forgiveness, for one thing, because there can be no sin in the light, and an inheritance. An inheritance. The Lord, of course, speaking to Saul, as it's recorded in Acts 26 and verse 15, whenever he presented himself to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, Saul didn't know who was speaking to him. He couldn't identify him. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which you will yet be revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you." Notice he's sending to the Gentiles, "to open their eyes in order to turn them from," here it is, "darkness to light." Darkness to light. "From whom the power of Satan to God," or "turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's the words of Jesus. What was Paul going to do? He's going to go out here to these Gentiles. He's going to preach the gospel to them. And he's going to turn them from darkness to light. That's what he's going to do. But notice, they receive forgiveness of their sins and in an inheritance among all who are sanctified in Christ. In Romans 13 and verse 12, Paul says, "The night is far spent and the day is at hand," night and day, okay? "Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Well, here's darkness, light, again. "Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day." Light. Walk in the day. "Not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Putting on Christ, in essence, is the same thing as putting on the armor of light. It's in that context, isn't it? No doubt. We do not walk in darkness. Rather, we walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Right. And notice in Ephesians 5 and 8, "You were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light." In other words, walk the way you are
appropriately light, not darkness. Don't walk in the darkness.
Well, that shows us that we then must live in the light. Whenever we show love to our brethren, 1 John 2:10 says, he who loves his brother abides in light, and there's no cause for stumbling. Our manifestation of love for one another is one of the ways we show we walk in the light, the way we live in light. And we are to shine as lights. Shine as lights also in the shine as a light in the darkness whenever we find ourselves. That's supposed to be Philippians, by the way. Look on my note here, and it's wrong there. Philippians 2:14-16. Shine as lights in the darkness. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now I see where it is. I left out the one. Matthew 5:14-16 is the next verse. In Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it on a basket, under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light. Light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to be good examples to those around us. How? By doing good works. Not by engaging in things of darkness, but by doing good works. We let our light shine around us in a world of sin and darkness. But to be in the light means to speak as the oracles of God speak. Peter is the writer here, 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion and power forever and ever. Amen. God is light. Christ is light. Anything that does not come from them is what? Darkness. That's all. It's darkness. So in speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent, we are speaking as the oracles of God. We are speaking in the light. Now, a question for you. Are you walking in darkness? Are you walking in darkness now? If you're not a child of God yet, certainly you are in darkness. But it's not something that you have to remain in. And we're very thankful for that. Why not hear and heed the call of God? Hear the call of God that entreats you to leave darkness and walk in the light. Believing that Jesus, the light, is the Son of God with all of your heart. Confessing your faith in Him from a heart that has been changed by belief. And walking in the light, in obedience to the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? By baptism. Simple as that. There's nothing mysterious about it. There's nothing complicated about it. It simply is being obedient to Him in baptism. What does He promise you when you are baptized into Christ? Well, He promises you eternal life. upon the condition that you remain faithful. He promises that. Why not come out of the darkness and into the light today? And if you are a child of God and you've started sliding back over into the darkness again, don't let yourself be lost because of sin. Realize the condition you find yourself in. Confess your sin to God. Pray for His forgiveness. And as your brothers and sisters in Christ, allow us to pray with you and for you.